AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area of southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. As always, I ask that you contact family and friends and invite them to tune in here to 860 AM radio if they live within our broadcast range. If not, they can tune in on the internet simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link on Wednesdays between 11 a.m. and 12 noon. Well, we're going to have a very interesting show today. There's a lot of things to discuss. But before that, I want to say a special thank you to our panel members who get a lot of PR from our people. They love what they have to say. They're glad that we have this broadcast to do this. And they would like to promote Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, and invite everyone to continue to support his site, which is right there on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You can go next to Mark's picture, and there is the Made in America store. When you order something, Mark will send it out to you promptly. Also, a special thanks to Larkin Connolly, National Small Business Advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course, Curtis Ellis, who is out promoting America First today. And our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we got some wonderful reactions to last week's broadcast. Isn't it unbelievable how there's so much going on in the world, and it seems to be too much in the way of negativity? We always have to promote the fact that we are all one people here in the United States of America. The more we remind the American people, the more we will stand together as Americans, and the better our great country, our economy, and everything will be. It's good also to remember that we only have one life to live. Isn't that true? I would like to wake up tomorrow and be 21 again and see how I would spend the next 30 years, you know? But it doesn't work like that. So it's good for us to have the ability to get together and talk and remember the fact that we only have one life to live. Also, we deserve this time to talk about national issues. The Democrat and the Republican conventions are an opportunity for us to see some of what the political people have to offer. Conventions show us the best of the organizations and, of course, political parties, exactly what they have to offer. Larkin's been to conventions, and I've been to conventions, Mark been to conventions, and Rich has been to conventions. Those conventions go out of their way to show us the best that they have to offer. And I've been watching both conventions, and I'm going to ask everybody to open up and be who they are today and give us a report and tell us exactly what they feel, because those conventions are also talking about, or should have talked about, American workers, our future here in the United States of America. At a political convention, we need to see the pride of America, the American people, and of course, the American flag proudly displayed, because the American flag represents you, me, and every American. That red, white, and blue, we salute. We are recognized all over the world as Americans. And yet, some people want to deny us the fact that we live in the great country of America. Look how much of our time and our future has been wasted, and our tax dollars and our jobs and our well-being as people in Washington that we elected, sent there for 30, 40 years, Some of them are still sitting there 30, 40 years later, doing what for our tax dollars, and what are they doing for our benefit? I don't want the press anymore or any political party to focus their words and actions on dividing people by race, color, creed, because it takes away from the greatness of America. We are great people, and we have to start ignoring those who look at us differently and want to divide us as people. You know, taking away time and effort of making America's economy great, having skills, getting our schools back to normal, honoring our police for the great job they do, encouraging our teachers to do even more to get those job skills, reading skills, and everything else up. Who is doing that? I've seen a little more of it in the last 2 days, and I'd like to turn to our panel today, because you know me, I could go on. Doing a Saturday show alone has made me, make sure that the time is a minute, a second, a nanosecond is never wasted, because people tuning in think, oh, he must have fell asleep or something at the mic. But that's not the case. So I'd like to turn to our panel members today for their opinions and what difference they saw and who they feel is representing what is best for America. And bearing that in mind, I'm going to call the man who I received several compliments for, and that is Rich Logis. Your words of wisdom last week were very, very much appreciated. And people said to me, this guy is really a character. I said, yes. And America needs more characters like him. Rich, how are you doing? What's new? Tell me everything.
Good morning, Michael. Mark Larkin, our great audio engineer, and to our listeners. And thanks for sharing that, Michael. I had a nearly two-minute rant last week.
And they loved it. They loved it. People told me I can't get enough of it. In fact, yesterday I had a visitor, and at the table he says to me, play Rich Logis's remarks from last week. So I, of course, went on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and I clicked on last Wednesday's show, and we listened to it. He said, this is simply unbelievable. So go ahead, Rich. Sorry about that.
No, well, thank you for sharing that, Michael. And yeah, I mean, I don't intentionally try to be a character, Mark, but as Shakespeare wrote in As You Like It, all the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their entrances and they have their exits. And I always say, Michael, with politics, really comes down to four groups: senior citizens, small business owners, working families, and young Americans, Mark, who are just getting started in their adult life and understandably have lots of fears, worries, and concerns for the future. And in trying to be, Michael, as objective as I can about both conventions, if you're a small business owner, a working family member, a young person, Larkin, or a senior citizen, and you watched and listened to the Democratic National Committee's convention, if you were being honest with yourself, Michael, you probably sat there and asked yourself often, what does any of this really have to do with me? Right? What does it have to do with me? Now, if you conversely, Mark, the last couple nights listened, especially if you're a small business owner or a working family member, what you heard, Michael, in the last couple of evenings was a lot of talk about results and outcomes. As a matter of fact, Larkin, if you recall, the Iowa governor, the lady, actually used the word outcome. And the difference, Mark, between outcomes, results, and worthless opinions is that outcomes and results are objective. They can actually be measured. So what I would actually like to see, Michael, is more talk about outcomes and results. And in the next couple nights, our prime opportunities for the president and his campaign and the party to make their case for senior citizens and for young people. It's not that we haven't had some nuggets here and there the Nicholas Sandman segment last night was spectacular. And here's a young kid who stood his ground, Michael, didn't allow the censorship to apply to him, fought back against the Democrat media industrial complex. God knows what he won in a settlement against CNN and the Washington Post. And just stood there, and I thought, and you know, Michael, I thought at the time, I said, you know, I don't know that kid's parents, but that's a kid who was raised the right way. That's what I thought, Mark. So definitely, Michael, if you're sitting there as a small business owner, working family member, what you're hearing relates to you. Now, I'd like to see more regarding seniors and our young people. The president has an opportunity with young people to follow up with what our segment with Sarah Blackwell was. The president has a prime opportunity to hone in on a specific youth issue, which is legal immigration, and begin reducing the importation of one foreign worker every 3 minutes for H-1Bs. That directly relates to young people. And senior citizens need to have the case made to them, Michael, because everything's about presentation. Senior citizens need to have the case made to them that if they're afraid of COVID right now, just wait until Black Lives Matter starts coming into their 55 and older communities. And the case has to be made that senior citizens who care about law and order and safety and security the same as we do, Mark, there is a stark contrast between one side, which is for law and order, for safety and security and lawfulness, and the other side, which is for anarchy, terrorism, rioting, and looting. The people burning down our cities, Michael, are not Donald Trump voters. They are the voters of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
But, you know, Rich, I have to ask you.
That case has to be made, Michael.
I want to ask you something. Does anybody in the press tell us the benefit of rioting, burning down, and looting? I don't hear somebody in the end has to pay the bill. And as far as taxes, you mentioned about taxes. I want to hear every person in this campaign tell us where the taxes are going, that Americans don't have to go searching on the internet for it. Tell us exactly how much the military is getting, how much pensions are causing, how much Social Security, how much all these programs, you know, for 30 years plus, more than 30 years, as the jobs left this country, politicians worked like crazy in Washington, D.C. to hide the fact that we had no jobs for our younger people at the time. No jobs. So they've increased housing programs, food stamps program, extended unemployment, and so many of these other things, all to hide the fact that America does not have enough jobs for its people.
Well, that is an opportunity, though, Michael, for the president and for this party. And the Republican Party has been, I mean, again, the immigration quagmire we are in is a bipartisan problem. It is a bipartisan created problem, Mark.
Yes.
And this is where the president really needs to, this is where he has a lot of control over the outcome, because young Americans care about, they are nervous about their futures, understandably, Michael. They always have been. They have even more reason to be concerned today. They have to be, that group has to be addressed. And the Democrat media industrial complex, Michael, solely exists for a singular purpose, to protect and elect Democrats, no exceptions, Mark. No exceptions. So we need to see the case made, Michael. And, you know, in politics, last point, guys, in politics, there's always, Michael, to some degree, you know, because it's an imperfect science in the world, the adult world is full of lots of shades of gray, there's always a, to some extent, you know, voting against maybe our own interests here and there. Although I do think, in fairness, President Trump is different in that sense, in that if you're in one of those four groups and you're being objective, there is a lot that pertains to those four groups, the working family, senior citizens, small business owners, and young people. But this is the first election, Michael. If you are in those groups and you side with the party of anarchy, you side with the party whose goals are to take your children, money, and freedoms, it is the first prospective election, Michael, we're facing, where there are so many people who have to understand that voting the party of Biden and Harris is direct. It is directly, Michael, a vote against all of what is important in their lives, from the economy to our families to our schools to safety and securities in the streets. And that case has to be made, has to be continued to be made tonight and tomorrow.
Yes. And now, Rich, if I was asking you for a grade for the first 2 days of the Democratic convention and the first 2 days of the Republican convention, what would your grade be?
I'd give the RNC, surprisingly, to my pleasant surprise, an A-. And I would give the DNC, I mean, I'd give them a G. I'm going to create a new letter grade for them and just call it a G.
The thing that I was disappointed in last week,
I know,
is,
that sounds partisan, Michael. I know people are laughing. Oh, you know, I knew Rich, you know, it was partisan. But Mark, I'm just trying to figure out how slavery reparations relate to me as a small business owning married father of two small kids whose wife just reentered the workforce.
Well, that's right. I agree.
If you guys have any idea, you know, let me know. I mean, we got our great audio engineer, just swing voter in a swing state in Pennsylvania. We've got to earn his vote. You got to sit there and say and wonder, what do windmills have to do with me as a working dad?
I got to work on some kind of a audio that reflects an eye rolling over here. I'm working on that.
Oh, let's turn for a moment to Larkin Conley. Larkin, give us your thoughts on the conventions and what you felt. I mean, where did you feel the American flag was best represented?
So good morning to everybody. I don't know, this is so difficult for me to admit, because I was in a unicorn, one party house my entire life. And the current president has done a relatively decent job of running my wife off of the Republican Party. So I'm now in a position where I sometimes have to fight my way to the dining room table. But I will say this, my beautiful, gorgeous, intelligent wife, who is above and beyond reproach in any sense of the word, is just has put me under national convention watching restriction. She is... She has said that you are no longer allowed to watch them. Your behavior when they start, regardless of who's up there, is reprehensible, and I will not put up with it. So if you want to watch the convention, you must wait until I go to bed, and not only until I go to bed, but until I am asleep. And you can sit in the Florida room and you can yell and scream and throw stuff at the TV and use bad language as long as you don't offend our dog. And so I admittedly have seen none of either of the conventions, none of them, not even in the news. I mean, you know, you can't help but watch, you know, even the PBS without seeing some mention of the convention. So I've seen those elements. Last night, my wife went to bed, obviously asleep, and I thought, well, let me breeze by there on my way to bed. And I breezed by, and Melania Trump was speaking. And I didn't hear a lot of what she said. How anybody on either side can I feel the same way about her as I did about Obama's wife. They're two relatively intelligent women that represent this country very, very, very well. And how anybody can attack Melania Trump is so far beyond me. It makes absolutely no sense. But they do, and they have their fun. I also want to reprimand Rich in his opening comment. Rich, in the opening comment, you mentioned Black Lives Matter. You're a racist. If you're a white man and you even say Black Lives Matter, you're a racist. You're not allowed to talk about that stuff. You're supposed to be arguing against it, maybe, but as soon as you open your mouth and say Black Lives Matter, you're a racist. So take that one.
Well, I'm often asked that question, and I say, I believe all lives matter. Every life is a treasure, and every life should be lived to the best of its ability. And I never really liked the idea. You know, there was a very good speaker yesterday. Senator Scott spoke, and in his remarks, he said, in my lifetime, my family went from cotton picking to a member of Congress. That was really very meaningful to me. I thought that was good. That was the kind of thing I want to hear at a convention. The most important thing that any of us will be able to hear is when the two presidential candidates are debating one another. That's when we hear everything. The two candidates, all the speakers are wonderful. The candidates are the top. There's only one point at the mountain, not two. Then it's not the point, the peak of the mountain. There's only one. There has to be one president. The main thing all of you, and as well as I have seen, is that the national media and the national elected officials don't like the president right now, President Trump, because he himself is a media person. He is he's personally involved in the media with the day-to-day happenings there at the White House on all American issues. We've never had anybody able to go to the media, Twitter, whatever he's on, a dozen and one ways of getting his message out. People don't like that. Wait one second, Rich, and I'll say this. He has an issue and he wants it brought to the public. He immediately goes to social media. He speaks his piece. No other president did that. The press did whatever they wanted to, and you found out about it when the press wanted you to find out about it. If they didn't want you to find out about it for a week or a month, that's how it was. Today, it's different. And the media does not like that. It puts the media in second class. Yes, Rich.
But before we get to Mark, I just, Larkin, the comment about Melania Trump. Maybe you guys know some who talked about, I don't know anyone who before 2016 talked about first ladies. Like, we just didn't talk. We saw them. You know, the office of the first lady is like the most innocuous office. Melania Trump is the most, let me try to say this right. She's the most least offensive public person I ever recall. I mean, if I read all the quotes of Mother Teresa, I'd find one I'm offended by. Truth, Michael. Melania Trump is like the most least offensive person, public figure I ever recall. And it was only with the, it's part of the residual quote-unquote legacy, Larkin, of the Obama presidency, that the office of the first lady is politicized now. I mean, who?
Wait a minute, Rich. Wait a minute. Whoa. You very rarely say something that I completely disagree with, but I completely disagree with that because I can start with Mamie Eisenhower and go to Jackie Kennedy and Lady Bird Johnson, who planted more trees in Texas than there are there now, and Betty Ford and her clinic and all the work that she's done. I mean, they all have personalities and positions in this country. They are revered. It's the closest to monarchy we get. How, Mrs. Carter, Madeline Carter, what was her name? Rosalind Carter, ran the White House, for Lord's sake. I mean, her husband was afraid to...
But Larkin, you're right. You know, they're what they do, what the contributions. But that's true. I'm just saying, with Melania Trump, it's like the second coming of Ethel Rosenberg. The way she's talked about, I don't know. Just saying. It's become this. you know, it's just
I've heard things said by one person on CNN that on any other network I think would get you thrown off for making distasteful remarks, and this is in an environment where distasteful remarks are almost a norm anymore.
I know, but Larkin, well, is that really necessary? I mean, that they're brainwashing the American people, the national news media. I want to know why they haven't been discussing more, the national news media, why jobs left America, why businesses left. All these things are what our future is based upon. Mark Andel is not going to base his future of his businesses on what some negative remark was made by some senator or congressperson or whatever. He has to base his business upon facts. There's nobody talking about the fact that America's businesses found it much easier to exit America to escape taxes, operational costs and restrictions on businesses and regulations, all kind of regulations. Congress did too many things in Washington to take away the idea of making America the best place to do business, which we have to figure out a way to make a couple broadcasts about that. So many of the companies, I went out last week, and I will tell you this, this is what really got me. Last Friday, in fact, I went out and I stopped at Macy's. And I went in Macy's, a lot of the shelves are poorly stocked. And I said to the clerk, I said, what's going on? They said, well, COVID, a lot of this stuff hasn't been coming in. I said, so does that mean a majority of the stuff that's not on the shelf is not American made? And she said to me, this is a quote from her, very little sold at Macy's is American made. Let me say it again. Very little sold at Macy's is American made. Now, if that was an elected official, he should have immediately went back and called a news conference. What are we going to do about it? That didn't happen. None of this happened overnight. It didn't happen in 3 or 5 years. Mark, you've been watching this for years.
And I want, you know, Michael, this is a great place for me to insert this because this has been a concern of mine for the last several months. I've always said, and anybody that's listened to me, I've always said the business of America is business.
Yes.
It really is the central machine. It is the pistons that drive this country. But when one backs up and talks about nothing but business and not education.
Everything.
And civility. And, I mean, a number of things beyond belief. Everything always comes back to, well, what are you doing about business? Well, listen, I understand that business, and we have to create an environment where people get to go to work.
Well, you know, Larkin, you're right. And here, give you an idea. There have been businesses that were looted, burned down, and their insurance covers so much. So now they are asking, especially in these enterprise zones, these zones that were helping different people get into business, they're now asking states to have taxpayer money get some money into their coffers to replace stock and all. But nobody is saying it's not the thing to do to riot, to break, to burn, to destroy. Nobody is saying that. I heard no governors, no senators, no congressmen saying, stop doing that. Who's going to pay the bill? Why are you destroying your own community? What is the purpose of killing someone else to avenge someone's death? That should never be this way. And I don't hear the people speaking up about it. So our businesses are scared to open. They're saying, oh, well, I won't have to go shopping. I'll have everything delivered to my house. What's that going to do for local businesses? What's that going to do for our malls, our strip malls, our local stores? people have to get on our politicians, and people have to support American made. And if it's not American made or partially made in America, maybe we don't need it. I did a commentary for this Saturday show, and as I was writing it, people were sending me different notes, and I take their thoughts into consideration and put them in the commentary. This week, I used a particular lady's commentary, which I thought was really good, and I thought of Mark when this came in. She said, as COVID hit, I was becoming more and more involved with the internet. She said, I looked at the stuff on the internet, at what I would purchase, what I'm looking to replace in my house. So I went into my house, and I looked at some of the stuff I'm ready to replace, and guess what? It's made in America. I'm looking in on the internet, and it's all not listed, or it's foreign made. So what the hell is going on? She's talking about 20 years ago, refrigerators, stoves, the whole deal. As people are home looking at their inventory, what they have to do. We can't make things in America for our everyday use. This is the benefit of programs like this. This is the benefit of people speaking up. Maybe this COVID, as I said last Wednesday, maybe this COVID pandemic, which originated in China, has opened the eyes of the American people even more about we have to do something to help ourselves. You know, Larkin, you know the area of Philadelphia that we're in. Many of those stores, many of the artists groups are all closed and they will never open again. They'll never open again. They said because by the time foot traffic comes back, it will be impossible. By the time we can have artists night out once a month, it's going to be impossible. People walking with masks, the parking authority hunting you down to give you a ticket. All this nonsense. This all destroys. And yet, can we contact the parking authority and give them our opinion? The answer is no. Can we contact our national leaders, our senators and congressmen, and say, we got to work together to get those businesses open up? Oh, no, no, no. We have to go by the governor's rules. And it has to be, you know, we can go to Lowe's, we can go to Walmart and all these other places and wait in line, but we can't go out and have a dinner because we have 6 or 8 people in our family and our group. All of it doesn't make sense. It's because we haven't been speaking up enough for ourselves over the years that has become a political dynasty, and the politicians have their force, and they have really overpowered the people at this point, to a point I don't know how this is going to get back together. Mark, I'm going to turn to you. Mark, you heard my spiel today. I see a lot of problems, and we have to help to resolve these problems by focusing on American-made, by urging businesses to come back, by encouraging business, urging them to put Made in America symbols on their products. I'm seeing it more and more. Even checking out at a store, I'm seeing products with little labels, Made in the USA, flags, the whole deal. This is what we have to focus on. Continue to urge our supporters to do that. There are people, I bear in mind before I go to you, Mark, there are people who don't care about America. They really don't. But the majority of the American people care about America. And as they see this is going on, they want to help. And that's why they love Mark Andel. Mark, tell us everything, what's happening with you, and how did you enjoy the convention? Did you watch any of the two of them?
Yes. Good morning, Mike, Larkin, Rich, Henry. Great to be on. Yeah, I woke up alive in America, and that's a great start. You know, we've been fired up here because we have to be. Larkin knows about that can-do entrepreneur spirit, and I'm seeing it all over. I did watch the convention, some of each. Last night, I'll tell you, I did watch, and I see, all the testimonials, and it was so refreshing. I slept better. I mean, the boy, Nicholas with the red hat, his whole story, and if you don't realize that corrupt, selfish media that Rich talks about all the time and how they've influenced everybody's opinion, and you start seeing these facts. A Melania Trump speech, she's just a class act. My mother asked for me to look it up again this morning, and she's non-political. Just wanted to see it again. Mike Pence at the Lincoln's first house with the testimonials. The women that are at the White House, I didn't know. You know, how many he's hired to help out on different things in the West Wing. And there's just the businesses that were on and the testimonials of the men and women that he's helped with the different plans and the right down to the opioid crisis and people on how he's helped. I just thought to myself, boy, if that was ever played on news every night, any one of them testimonials, any one of them stories, what a positive country this would be. And that should be done forever. Every president, but it really made me feel like how corrupt that media for 4 years, what they did to Donald Trump, and just kept it negative, negative. You start watching that convention last night, Mike. I was excited. I woke up excited, you know, about how much has been done and how much this man can do, even from his family. He works every day. You know, and I think that was something Washington was missing. But, boy, it was refreshing to hear that side. I did listen to the Democratic last week a little bit. Again, a lot of old people talking about young people things and just didn't have the same vibe to me, just being totally honest. And the naturalized citizens, if anybody caught that little segment when they brought in the four or five naturalized citizens, it just made me feel really proud to be an American and what people go through to become American citizens and how it is the greatest country on the face of the earth. And Mike, you always ask about has a congressman or anybody stopped in. Well, last week I had a Chris Jacobs stop in and ask if he could film for his political run this fall, and I generally everybody's welcome, but he wanted to film do some film at a manufacturing place and then at a farm and talk about Made in America. So I let him do their B-roll, and they ended up having me in the commercial. But it was refreshing that somebody actually called up and wanted to be involved and realize what we've been up to that's running for Congress again. So some great things are going on. Made in America, the movement's huge, guys, right now. I watch my parking lot across the street from General Welding. Larkin, you've been here. We're across the street. I can see the parking lot. There's 5 to 10 cars churning all the time. MadeInAmerica.com is alive and well. We're pulling out of a mall today, and we're moving into a strip plaza this week. We'll open September 1st, but getting products, the Made in America vendors, our manufacturers, the ones we supported for 10 years, they're busy. And it's great to see, Mike. I'm not talking a lot about it. I'm just kind of, we're watching it because my team's been at it 10 years. They've been busting their butt, and it's just great to see Made in America coming back and alive. And what really, because of Donald Trump shutting off the borders January 31st of China, and you're seeing these larger stores emptying, they can't get products. And you're exactly right on what you said, Mike. They can't get products because they're shut off, and it's making what we've talked about and wanted all these years happen. That has to happen, supporting the country you live in. So it's been an awesome time in a way. It's week 24 of the pandemic. It is a China pandemic. It was intentional. Don't kid yourself. I hold them totally responsible for the pandemic, I do believe, and I've got a lot of good inside information on where it started and how it started. It was intentional, but we're Americans. We're going to come back hard.
Mark, can I ask you something? Not a trick question. Not a trick question. And Mark's made clear for several years his support of the president. So we know that. We get it right out up front here. But you talk about your dad, Mark, right? You talk about seniors who come to visit you. As a small business owner, your dad, right, your dad works with you. He's seen a lot in his life. Do you feel like what you're seeing directly relates to your life and your livelihood? What you're seeing at the convention?
You know, a lot of times not. Like you said, my father, 83, uncensored. My mother was an orphan given up at the age of 5 by her family to the county, never seen her parents again. Father, poor. They fought the fight. They came from dirt. And, you know, I'm proud of them. They had 5 children. My dad worked iron working 2 jobs at once, 16 hours a day and a weekend. So he fought as hard as anybody to put a life together for us. Yeah, there's not a lot. My dad grew up Democratic, South Buffalo, but he doesn't. He voted for Donald J. Trump. Because the Democrat used to be for the working class. He doesn't believe it now. He's seen an awful lot. He laughs at the media. I got to keep him like your wife, Lark, and we got to keep my father out of my customer's lounge, you know. Larkin's met my father. He's going to do my last radio show, remember. I won't be able to be on radio again. But, you know, Rich, I guess, is the answer to your question. What helps me today? We need work. We had a thriving economy, though, right before the pandemic. Donald Trump did do a great job on getting the economy. Like you said, Larkin, business is the main purpose. We needed a businessman. And I wanted to report cards. I wanted a qualified man. And we had that business, because even growing Made in America, the middle class again, can give people a purpose again and get these protesters to work is what we need.
Well, Mark, that was well said. And I saw it in Macy's, and I don't mind mentioning it, because the girl at the cash register said, very little that she sees in Macy's is made in America. And that is all the big stores. That's why I urge people to shop more local, because local stores have the ability to find American-made products, to feature American-made products, where the big stores are grabbing whatever they can get at the best price, putting it on the shelf, and hope that you'll be in a rush to buy it and move forward. This is the way things have been.
And, Mike, a lot of stores, if it's Steinmart, just closed 200 stores last week. Lord & Taylor just closed at our mall. A lot of different things happen at malls and stores, but a lot of shelves are open. And take a look around where you're shopping. They're open because they can't get products. Now, there is a wood shortage.
Now, why can't they get products?
Well, the pandemic caused a lot of bubbles.
But where were those products coming from?
Well, overseas.
That's the problem.
And also the wood shortage in the country now, because of the 3-4 months the plants were closed, the auto industry's closed, all these bubbles are surfacing too, where you can't get products. But most, like you said, were from overseas, and shipping containers are shut off, so they can't get their products. Wait until this fourth quarter. The heyday for small business is November, December, between Black Friday and Christmas. They can't get product, they can't have the sales. Our Made in America vendors, 500 plus, are very, very busy. They're giving us the respect and giving us our orders first, which really is helping us out. So a lot of good stuff, but it is growing. It's going to take time. Like Larkin talked about, supply chains, everything. But it has to happen now. They are realizing the dependency on China, and it took a pandemic to do that.
You know, we very seldom talk about, or have had an opportunity to talk about, how these shortages in America exist. We're so used to everything being so irregular, we don't notice the irregularities. But I walked into, and I'm going to throw some product names around, but I walked into Publix and I said, please help me with this. You haven't had Fresca on the shelf for the last 6-7 weeks. This is ridiculous. And he said, there is a Fresca shortage. And I said, you got to be kidding me. There aren't three of us in this whole country that drink it. What are you talking about? And he said, there is actually an aluminum shortage. And Coca-Cola, who owns Fresca, of course, protected their own Coca-Cola brand and Diet Coke and all of their more popular brands for an off-brand fruit punch drink like Fresca. So I'm saying, no, whoa. There's an aluminum shortage? And he said, there's a drastic aluminum shortage. So I ran home. I look it up, and I go, aluminum shortage? What are you talking about? And the story is about the number one drink in food in the state of Texas. Does anybody want to hazard a guess? Number one drink in the state of Texas. Dr. Pepper, and you can't find Dr. Pepper on their shelves. Why? An aluminum shortage.
Larkin, I want to add to that if I can. David Hurley owns Kitchen Craft. Kitchen Craft is the waterless cookware. We were the first retail store for David Hurley. David Hurley watched and scouted me for 7 years, a little scary. He flew in on his plane to meet me, and he shut his coat in the door and his shirt, and he had to get a different coat. Well, Dave is a Vietnam veteran, was a forward advisor, signed up at the age of 16. No tougher job, because you had to go find the enemy. put the 15-foot antenna up and then call back and tell us where they were. So David ran kitchen craft for 40 years. So he called me last Friday. I said, Dave, how you doing? Because I knew about this aluminum shortage when I was at the Indiana convention, the Made in America convention last fall. I said, Dave, how you doing? And he's got a positive attitude. Mike, I want to get him on the show. There's no positive guy that's been through a lot of stuff but still stays positive. Well, he said Ford, with the F-150, made their frame out of aluminum, so Ford bought up all the aluminum in the country. This was last fall. So that was Dave's big problem, and he was having it processed. His waterless cookware, Kitchen Craft, was processed in Pittsburgh Mill. Seven layers. It's aluminum, stainless, surgical stainless steel, and they compress them all together. Well, the mill then was having no aluminum, and then the mill decided they don't want to do his process, so we had a real problem. Dave's got his manufacturing plant up in Wisconsin. He's based out of Florida, by you, Larkin, and he was having a major problem. Now, the neat thing with Dave's plant in Wisconsin, he used all the military presses that were used for World War II presses. He converted them to make his pans and all his kitchenware. So go forward, the pandemic hits, March 13th, roughly that Friday. I was wondering about Dave. How is he going to make it? Because Dave's outlets are only shows, like fairs, 4,000 shows he does a year. So Dave's outlets, and if you talk to people that got Kitchen Craft, they've had it for 30, 40 years. It's the best cookware you can have, and it's a process. It's waterless cooking, pressure cooking. But Dave, I just talked to Friday. He said, Mark, all my 4,000 shows were canceled this year. So not only not having aluminum was a problem, but not having 4,000 shows to sell his product. So we were his only outlet. So he offered us a deal last week. He said, I'm going to just try to keep my people working because this is a two-year process to come back out of it, he believes, not only aluminum shortage, but also with these shows to reopen. He said, I need an outlet, and he wants to drop his Kitchen Craft waterless cookware price in half and let us be the only outlet. So this just happened last Friday, and Mike, I'm saying it on Radio First, so that will be on our website soon. Dave's just trying to keep his workers employed in Wisconsin in his plant to make up for all his losses, but the aluminum shortage is a major one, and the only mill in the country that could produce was out of Pittsburgh and has a problem right now because they're closed off, Larkin. So everything ties together. But waterless cookware, Kitchen Craft, is we're going to be his only outlet to try to help his save his employees in Wisconsin.
And Mark, I'm going to ask that you do this. Would you get me whatever information you have, any kind of presentations that you have on your internet site? Make sure I get it emailed. I will email it to all of our. We have a lot of thousands of supporters, and let's see what we can do. We got
to
start doing stuff like this. This is what has to be done. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you this. When people go out to vote, when I say go out to vote, I mean they should plan to go out to vote. Wear two masks if you have to. Wear comfortable shoes in case you have to wait 3 hours in line. But do go out to vote to end all this controversy about I have to mail in my ballot and all. If you live in an urban area, please do go out and vote. When people do go out to vote, they're going to be voting on accomplishments. Was my life better under the leader who's been in office for the last 41 months? Or was my life better during the leadership of the person who's been in for 47 years? In the case of Trump versus Biden, we'll need to look at what each of those candidates are going to do at the debate. There must be debates. That's the only thing that influences me. Conventions and all, I get a nice idea, I get a nice feeling, but I want to hear from two people only. I'm not interested in the vice presidents. Two people at the top.
Well, again, Michael, to reiterate this point, very wisely, President's campaign preemptively, I think, I don't know this, but it's conjecture on my part that within the campaign, there's probably at least some discussion about the possibility that there won't be any debates. So,
well, I don't understand. First of all, if there's no debates, the person who doesn't want to debate should be automatically disqualified. I'm not interested in speeches. I want to see somebody up there telling me, answering the questions. I don't even like some of the way those people ask the questions. It should be our questions. What are you going to do to get our jobs back? What are you going to do to not raise taxes, but lower taxes? What are you going to do to tell us where the tax money is going right now?
Let me ask you a serious question. And I'm not being facetious. It's not a trick question. Do you really think the DNC wants Joe Biden to debate the president?
Regardless, we've never had, and I guess I don't know where were the first debates, who did the first debates. But since then, there's been debates always. No debate, you're disqualified.
All I know is that when Mike Pence and Kamala Harris have a debate, all I know is that Mike Pence, who's got the most even-keeled temperament of any politician, Larkin, I've ever seen in my life, I just can't wait until Mike Pence is attacked and he turns to Kamala Harris and says, me and Karen are going to go home tonight and say a prayer for you, and he actually means it. How do you come back against a guy who says, I'm going to go home and pray for you tonight, and he actually means it?
Now, you were going to say something about the debate situation, Larkin. What was it?
There is no member of the DNC with any sense of influence whatsoever that's looking forward to Joe Biden debating Donald Trump. He'd be out of his mind. He's got to get in there, and it'll be very interesting. I think they have a lot of decisions to make as to how he debates Donald Trump. Does he start throwing punches a little on the low side? Because we all know that Donald Trump will probably throw a couple.
Larkin, if that's the case, I agree with you. Then we should have the debates on issues. No personal stabs whatsoever. Not needed. On issues that affect us as of that debate. And as a result, we'll vote for you because of what you said, not what you said 40 years ago or 25 months ago. What you plan to do as of this debate. Who you have to back you up to do it. It's insane, all this nonsense. The national media, by the way, I turn all of it off anymore because all it is, it's one person trying to overdo the other person, how they're going to degrade the politician they don't like. That's all it is. It's a waste of my time. Michael, I don't want to hear it. Yes.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and I'm going to say this again objectively here, okay, they have told us what they're going to do. So if you're a senior citizen, small business owner, working family member, or a young person, you have to sit there and you have to ask yourself, well, do we really want more taxes for small business owners? Do we really want to go back to the Obama era of regulations on steroids? Do we really want even more importation of foreign workers? Do we want terrorist groups, who, by the way, again, always make sure, Mark, when you talk about the people in the streets, always refer to them as Biden and Harris voters. Don't forget to call them that. That's what they are. So when someone asked me today, Michael, why doesn't Joe Biden and Kamala Harris just simply say these riots got to stop, the violence has to stop? And I said, why don't they say it? That's their vote. Those are their voters.
That's right. No. Any person who encourages violence, destruction of property, tries to divide people by race, color, and creed should immediately be put out of the position of what they're trying to run for. That's not what America is all about. Our founders got together to do positive things for this country, to unload England, to unload the British government, and make America the great place to live and thrive. We're here in our 200 and plus 40 some anniversary. What the hell is going on? people are worrying about what's going to happen at the debate. You're absolutely right when you say people are worried that there's going to be mudslinging at the debate. Well, I would like to suggest that is not allowed. We want to hear facts and figures, nothing else.
That can't happen.
It can.
That's a daydream that'll never.
Well,
ever,
Larkin, it ever, can happen if the rules are set accordingly. If you have a stop sign that says red light, green light, yellow light, you know what the rules are. Sorry, we're not going into the yellow light zone. We're going to stop that right away.
We have issues that have to be talked about, and if anybody takes it south, I think they're going to stop themselves in the past, and I think the people watching across America are going to be better narrators or better watchers and observers of these debates. I mean, I'm telling you what, we are living in a country today where Bill Maher, the most popular talk show not on network television, actually called for a recession to make Trump look so bad that he couldn't possibly get elected. Now imagine wishing a recession on this country.
I agree. And there are a lot of those kinds of people, Larkin. There's a lot of these kind of people in the media. They just want tragedy to go until November the 3rd. With the prayer that people will be disgusted and go out and vote. I want people to vote and tell me what accomplishments they see ahead of them. What are they looking for? Are they looking for jobs? Are they looking for taxes? Are they looking for violence? Are they looking for peace? Are they looking to show that we're all one people under God, indivisible with liberty, saluting our flag? Or are we going to be chaotic? Turn on the news to tell us the sky is falling in every day. Hey, I think we had a good broadcast today, guys. I really enjoyed that. Well, I want to tell you something. Keep watching the television commercials. Keep listening to what the candidates have to say. But wait until the debates to see who shines the brightest and who makes us want to go out and vote. In the meantime, may I encourage all of you to plan to vote. Find out where your voting place will be so that you can be there on November the 3rd to cast your vote. If you can't do that, then vote by mail. Vote as soon as you get the ballot in the mail so that there's none of this that's lost in the mail, it came late or whatever. Let's get America back to being America again. I want to say thank you to Larkin Conley, Rich Loges, Mark Andel, our engineer Henry Chaplinsky for joining me today. I'm Michael Blihash. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. May God bless you, your family. God bless all the people that are working hard to bring our jobs back, our teachers who are trying to make sure our children graduate with the best education possible, and those who are promoting our skilled trades, that they get more and more active in the situation of helping schools do that. God bless. Have a great day.
Have a great week, guys. Bye, Americans.